Jazzy 88. It is Artist of the Week, Adam Holly. Go ahead, son. I was in here saying, play that thing now. That's the part you don't hear before the microphone comes on.
I'm in here.
Man, that's sweet right there. That is your Thinking of You featuring Najee. That is too sweet, Adam. Too sweet.
Oh, you are too kind. Big shout out to Najee. Believe it or not, I ran into him at a show in L.A. Where I live. And he said to me, hey, if you ever need something, let me know. And, of course, I had to hit him up on that. And, man, did he ever come through?
Yes, he did.
I really appreciate Najee and his friendship.
Definitely. He does add a touch of class to everything he touches. And that's what, that flute really sounded good with you, Adam. But you know how it is when I'm biased, so it all sounds good with you. Anyway, how you been?
I've been fantastic. I appreciate you having me on, and always appreciate your support over the years. Everything's great. I'm on the road right now. I'm in Atlanta. Got a show tonight, and got the new album that comes out tomorrow. So I'm feeling good.
Well, and rightly so, because, you know, this is really, really a fantastic project entitled Escape, and we have been hearing some of the cuts from it during the first 30 minutes of this hour, and, of course, the cut four to the top featuring Jeff Ryan is your single that you're writing on right now. Did you pick that one to be the one you wanted to come out of the shoot with?
Oh, I wish I could take the credit, but I got to give props where they're due. My radio promoter, Jason Goroff, has been just the best, and he's been with me since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I leave that up to him. You know, he's got the golden ear, so he picked that tune. I'm definitely excited about it. Obviously, it wouldn't be on the album otherwise. Yeah. But we're off to a great start. You know, it was number one most added on Billboard in the first week, and number one spin crease in the second week. And I think we're going to chart hopefully next week. So we're off to a good start.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jason knows. And that's for sure. You have discovered that. You know, Adam, I look back in a little history that we have here with you. And I think the first time, and that was when you were kind of busting out, 35th Street was the cut that, you know, we got back in, 2016, 15, right?
Yeah, it came out in February of 2016.
Okay, and that was the first time we had you on. You were emerging talent, and look at you. Your tour schedule is all over the country. You know, I get excited when I see you all, you know, that were young in it and trying to, you know, make a mark. And, you know, I'm happy. I feel like, you know, I know everybody. Of course, I've interviewed all y'all a bunch, but my point is that I love to see what you did, you know, when it was your time to shine. You and you know, some of the others that, you know, you work with out there, Marcus Anderson, and, you know, Greg, different people of that nature. Y'all are just really doing it, man. You really are.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, we couldn't do it without the support, like yourself at radio. The fans have been incredible. I'm always amazed at the legendary artists that have been supportive. You know, we already talked about Najee being nice enough to play on the new album. I also have Rick Braun on the new album, Mike Linkton, you mentioned Marcus. And in the past, I've been able to get Dave Koz, Jeff Lorber, Gerald Albright. So all of these individuals are people I met along the way, either on tour, or I had the good fortune to play guitar with them at one point or another.
Yeah.
Brian Culbertson is another one. I toured with him for 2 years. Uh-huh. And I'm just amazed over and over. The jazz community in general is just a family. Yeah. And people are so supportive. Don't mind helping a newer artist such as myself get started. And now I'm on my third album. And we're out here, trying to make it happen. It's been a blast. And I'm very thankful.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that keeps you always in the ear of people is the fact that you are. And, you know, every time, this is, I think, your third time in our spotlight, and you're new.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate it. I know. You know, thanks for having me.
Of course. But I also see you doing likewise with a lot of other artists. You're on their projects as well. So you're not just, they're not just with you, but you're playing along with some of the other cats who might be younger or just, you know, getting going in the last year. So you're doing that as well.
Well, yeah, Jeff Ryan is a perfect example. He played sax for me up in in the Bay Area for a show. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, bam, he comes out just killing it on the radio, having a lot of big hits.
Yeah.
And so he reached out to me to do some producing for his next album. And so we were talking, and I said, well, how about you play on my next record and my new single? I just heard him on that from the beginning. I knew that he would just really bring it.
Yeah.
And he really did. You know, he's been fantastic. And that's been another fun thing about being in the jazz scene. I'm doing a lot of producing for a bunch of different artists, such as D. Lucas and Phil Denny and Rob Zinn and just a bunch of people. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, and those are the folks that, you know, are trying to make their mark as well, and that, you know, you haven't turned your back or I'm too busy scratching for myself, I can't help y'all. You know, because sometimes that happens, you know. So, and that's why I think, you know, what you put out, you get back. And it comes back in the form of these great artists that you mentioned wanting to do things with you, because they recognize, you know, talent recognizes talent.
No, it's been incredible, and it's the least I can do. I mean, even going back to before I was an artist, before I when I first started touring, it was you know, legendary artists and musicians giving me a chance. And when I very first started touring, I walked into school one day. I was studying at the University of Southern California, and it was one of my instructors who had just gotten called to go on tour with the Manhattan Transfer, couldn't do it, and he put my name in there, and that's where I got started. I ended up touring with them for 4 years, and so it, you know, it's the least I can do to give back, because you know, I've had so much help along the way, and you know, very appreciative of it.
Well, and you also have kept a focus on education and how important that has been as an educator and a successful musician. You feel like you're doing the things that are in store for your life, because you've had number one songs and you've done a lot in a short time, you know?
Well, definitely, yeah. I just mentioned a second ago, University of Southern California. I ended up staying there and doing my master's and doctorate, and I received my doctorate of musical arts back in 2010. And I love being a part of education. I'm currently teaching at two colleges in the Southern California area, one in Hollywood Musicians Institute and one in Orange County called Saddleback College.
Okay.
And I have so much fun. Got so many talented students, and I, you know, learn a lot from them as well, and have had a bunch of them go on tour and become artists. And so it really reinvigorates me and makes me make sure to stay sharp on my tools too. I gotta be able to show them something. So I gotta keep my guitar playing and all of my musical aspects of my career. I gotta keep those top notch as well.
No question about it. So, Dr. Holly, now you, I know you. Last time I talked to you during the Artist of the Week, don't you do something with in the community or, you know, in the grassroots with the young ones or something like that? Isn't that you that does that?
Well, yeah, I've been a part of a lot of things. I mean, especially with USC, we did a lot of reaching out to the community right around the college, and you know, that campus is located, you know, the campus is the state art building, and then mm-hmm. the community around it is, mm-hmm. you know, still trying to get its feet. And so that was really incredible. We went into a lot of the schools mm-hmm. around the surrounding area there mm-hmm. in South Central LA mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and worked with children's choirs. We worked with instrumentalists doing guitar lessons. And again, you know, just to kind of piggyback on what we talked about previously, it's the least we can do to give back to the community yeah. because I've definitely gotten my help along the way to get me going.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and when you're in instruction in the classroom setting, what do you describe? Because I know they're curious about a lot of how, you know, it works, and at the end of the day, it's still a business. How do you address that with the students?
Well, that's a great question, because you know, all of us, we want to be artistic, we want to be, you know, keep our integrity and do, you know, we want to put our music our way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as you said, that you said it perfectly, it's a music business, mm-hmm. and it can be easy to lose your way if mm-hmm. you don't know. It's not a dirty thing to sell yourself. You got to figure out how to sell yourself,
right.
and that's not to say, okay, I'm not going to make the music that is important to me, but figure out what you want to do, make that music, but then figure out how to market it and get yeah. it out to people so they can hear you. Because
yeah.
if all you do is just you know, record in your bedroom and then you just put it out on social media and you don't get a distributor, you don't get a radio promoter.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are integral to then take that next step and get the music out to mm-hmm. the rest of the country or mm-hmm. even the rest of the world, you
mm-hmm.
know? So yeah, I that was something I had my mind on when I was in school. I did a business minor when I was in my undergrad, and because I just wanted to make sure to incorporate both of those aspects and just find a way to make the music that's true to me, but then mm-hmm. also find a way to get out there and make sure people hear it.
Yeah, because it seems like sometimes people, you know, they, because of technology or whatever, and the need for speed on everything, that, you know, stuff takes time. Surprise! You know, it's no microwave stuff.
It's funny you mention that, because I can fully empathize with it taking time.
Mm-hmm.
I had the just extreme honor to sign with Maurice White for
yeah.
first two albums.
Cool.
And I was on his record label. They signed me in May of 2015. And as we just said,
amazing.
My first single came out early 2016. So I had to wait 10 months. My album was completely done, completely mastered, artwork, you name it. The CDs were ready, and we had to wait 10 months. And the reason for that was they said, well, if we rush and just put it out now, it's really not going to come out till the fall.
Uh-huh.
Now we're getting close to the holiday season.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the legendary artists release records in the fall.
Yeah.
So now you're trying to break through.
Right.
They said, you know, let's just wait till the top of 2016. Uh-huh. Man, that was the hardest 10 months of my life, but I'm so glad we did, because that first single is still my biggest song. That
yes.
song was number one for 5 weeks on
yeah.
Billboard, and that song just got everything started.
Yeah,
so
so
definitely my story is a testament to that of sometimes you got to be patient.
Definitely. And you know, I was so shocked when I got the project, because I deal with Jason and company and his dad every week, you know. It's like, oh, we talk every, people don't understand, radio stations that choose to talk to the folks. These people earn their checks, okay? They call us every week, and except for during Christmas. And you know, I just told him, you know, years ago when we first went around with you about 4 or 5 years ago, I'm like, you know, this cat is on Kalimba Records, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it was a dream come true for me, you know.
And old schoolers know what Kalimba is. They get it. They know Maurice White.
Oh, yeah.
And the Earth, Wind, and Fire fame. They know what that means. So, you know, that's a solid touch for you, for real. And being on a label in your early and starting that had the the backing and the history. What did you feel like you learned from that experience, Adam? You know, because of the legendary person? Yeah.
Yeah, without question. You know, Maurice, unfortunately, about 3 to 4 months after I signed, he passed away. Yeah. But despite that, the gentlemen that were working at the label had been with him for 30 years. I mean, I'm talking about especially Richie Salvato was the president. He had been with Maurice for 30 years. And then my A&R executive, Ted Joseph, he had been with Warner Brothers for 30 years. So to have that expertise and just years in the business at such a high level, I'm talking about my A&R executive, Ted, he was with Prince when Prince first broke out on Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. So to be around those gentlemen was just really incredible. And I'm always make sure to mention them, you know, and just thanking them for getting my career started, because it was integral for sure.
Yeah. Now, you were just here with Kirk, right? Kirk Whalum?
I was. We were at City Winery, and Kirk is another legend that has just been so he's been so supportive.
Yeah.
He texts me. I want to say he'll text me maybe once a month, maybe every 2 months. But he'll just drop me a line. Hey, thinking about you. Hey, miss you. Like, and me growing up in Oregon, listening to him, and he was already a legend, you know, when I was coming up as a teenager. It's really a dream come true. Oh, so, yeah, I was an artist on his recent Christmas tour, and we did. We played City Winery in Nashville. It was sold out. It was so much fun.
I am sure. Now, when you sent me an email and told me you were going to be here, I had family coming in from 5 states for Christmas.
And I'm like, okay, for sure.
This is not gonna work.
Oh no. I know, because I think we played 2 days before Christmas, wasn't it? December 23rd,
I
believe.
Like, yeah. I you know, I hate to leave y'all, but I got to go. I mean, I'm sure they would have got it, you know, but I was like, oh no, because I wanted you to come by and all that stuff, you know.
That would have been great. But we'll have to do it another time.
Definitely. Because I heard, you know, a lot of great things about your work while you were here with Kirk, and people were very blown away, you know, by how excellent a player you are. And so was that your first time working with Kirk on that Christmas project?
Well, this was, in terms of, you know, it was a package where we had 5 artists on that tour. So obviously Kirk, Mesa, myself, John Stoddard, and then his brother, Kevin Whalum. Oh, so it was it was an all-star show of sorts. Everyone brought a couple songs to the table. Of course, Kirk did a few more. It's his baby. But, you know, it was incredible. That was the first time, touring with Kirk in that capacity. Yeah. I had played guitar a couple times for him on the Dave Koz cruise, which that was a blast as well. But yeah, this is the first time touring as an artist with Kirk, and it was really incredible. We had a blast.
Yeah. He's a down home family dude, you know, and
he really is
just a gift, a Tennessee treasure, you know.
There you go.
That's one of our people. Anyway, having said that, now you're from Portland or L.A.?
So I'm from Oregon. I'm from a very small town. It's called Gaston, Oregon. Oh. It's 500 people, believe it or not. And but you know what? It was a great place to grow up. I had some incredible teachers. We had to drive a little ways. We had to drive about an hour for my guitar lessons. But I had some incredible teachers. And, you know, I started thinking about L.A. while I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
My band director for jazz band while I was in high school, he actually went to USC, where I ended up going. Mm-hmm. And it kind of piqued my interest. He had done a lot of TV work. He had played on the soundtracks for Star Trek, Winnie the Pooh. I mean, that's just two of hundreds of to thousands of soundtracks he played on. But, it was in the back of my mind to move down to Los Angeles. And so I moved down there in 2002. I've been there ever since. I've been there for now 18 years.
Oh wow! So you're loving it then?
I'm loving it. I met my lovely wife Kat, who is a fantastic vocalist. She's featured on all of my albums.
Uh-huh.
And, she does all of my live shows. I met her in L.A. at church.
Okay.
And Yeah, so I got myself a California girl.
We have a
wonderful son, Adam Jr., who's in fifth grade. And so we're loving it. We're enjoying it down there.
I know when I first interviewed you, he was a baby.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, so back in 2016, he would have been six or seven.
Okay,
yeah, so he's 11 now.
Oh,
it's crazy.
My God. And is he tall like you?
Oh, yeah, he's going to be tall. He's almost caught up to my wife and to his mother. And, he's going to beat me out, definitely.
Well, he's good looking. If he looks like both of y'all, then that's it.
I'll pay you later for that one. No, he's a looker. He's a looker. Okay. We're going to have our hands full in a couple of years. I know you will.
Does he feel inclined toward music, Adam, or what?
Well, he has a lot of natural talent. He's already bounced around to a bunch of instruments right now. He's playing saxophone in the concert band in school. And he's already dabbled in piano and guitar a little bit. So he's got a lot of natural talent there. But, you know, his academics are really incredible. He's already won Presidential Gold Award for number one in his class.
Wow.
And this last semester, he was principal's honor roll. So he's taken his academics really seriously and has a big interest in math and in computer science. So he's in a coding club, so I think he may lean that way a little bit more. But but he's got the talent if he chooses to.
Definitely. And, you know, having a father as an educator, you know, he has no choice but to get it together. I mean, you know.
Well, he's got some musical genes between my wife and myself. He's definitely got a lot of natural talent.
Definitely.
Sure.
Now, Adam, on the cover, and we're listening to Cut 7, the Sunday Swing on Adam Holly's latest release, Escape, that just came out. It just came out, what, this week, last week?
It comes out tomorrow.
February 28th. Tomorrow. Woo-wee, hot y'all. Okay, where are you on the cover? Where are you?
Oh, that's in we found a very cool a photo studio in downtown Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And shout out to my photographer. He did my last two albums, Dan Boise, a really great saxophonist as well.
Okay.
And, I was just trying to find kind of a mood with this album and with the photos, and I think we found it. We found kind of a laid-back, kind of like a dark mood, and, you know, like I said, the title's called Escape. I was just trying to kind of paint that picture.
Oh, you did. You did. You did good.
All right.
Now, Escape, are you, give us your thought behind that title.
So, that title comes from the title track, which you were just playing a few minutes ago, which featured Rick Braun. And, you know, when I was writing that song, that just thought of escape, you know, escape with music, escape to a destination. Let me take you somewhere with my song. That's where that song was taking me. It was really taking me somewhere else. And the more I thought about it, I listened to the other tracks I was recording, I thought, you know, this is going to be the theme for the whole album. And I really take pride in all 10 tracks trying to tell a story, having, you know, letting the listener listen from track 1 to track 10 to take them on a journey. They don't have to skip any song. And for that reason, I don't necessarily just pick the 10 best individual songs.
Uh-huh.
I also pick the 10 songs that go together and have a flow to them.
Yeah.
And I've been really excited that the fans that have been able to hear it so far have felt just the same as I did, that we're going on a journey on this album, I just want to take you there with my guitar.
Well, I think you're more funky on this one, and I think that's a cool thing. Because I feel, you know, it's a different kind of groove. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Well, that's the other thing. The last thing I want to do is keep making the same record.
True.
So I dug even deeper on this third album. I tried to find some new grooves, some different things. Sunday Swing, I'd never done a tune with that type of groove. The one you're playing right now, featuring Marcus Anderson, I haven't done a tune with that groove either. It's kind of a slow jam kind of vibe, almost like Pretty Brown Eyes, Mint Condition kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So I just try to stretch, do a few different things,
yeah.
And give the listener something a little different.
Well, you did. You most definitely did. Adam Holly, we are happy to have the Jazzy 88 spotlight on him. And this great new project, you all need to pick it up. It's really, really good, Adam. You know, I'm going to give you the two thumbs up on here, okay?
Oh, you are too kind. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
And anyone that wants to check it out, as I said, it's available everywhere tomorrow. I'm talking about Amazon, iTunes, you name it. And if you want a signed copy, you can go to my website, adamholly.com.
Excellent.
And you can purchase a copy there. I'll sign one, send it to you. So we're excited.
Excellent. Well, you should do quite well with it, and I look forward to talking with you soon. And it's so good to hear your voice, okay?
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much for having me,
and
it's always a pleasure.
All right, take care. Adam Holly, he's this week's Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week.